whole 10, we're going to focus on one. So if you would turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, I was going to skip through the 10 commandments and highlight a few things. Then I want to concentrate on one, which I believe God has shown me just an unusual way. I love the way the 10 commandments are constructed. They are divinely inspired for us to understand and learn from. And the 10 commandments are very valid today. And what one of the main reasons why people are falling away from God and because they do not obey the 10 commandments. So let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Then God gave all the people all these instructions. All the people, all these instructions. There's a good clue. God wants all of us to follow all his instructions. Yes? And it says this: I'm the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. This gives God permission to give the Ten Commandments to his people because he rescued them from bondage and slavery and brought them into freedom. And in their freedom, they had to obey the Ten Commandments. And I believe it's the same for us today. The Lord Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, gave us our freedom. Amen. And he wants us to obey these commandments today. They are not rescinded. They are still valid. And if people will understand that, it'd be a lot better place to be. So, verse 3, you must have no other God before me. You must not make any idol of any kind or any image or anything in the heavens or on the earth or on the sea. That was the second commandment. Then it goes on. You must not misuse the name of the Lord in vain. Number 3, verse 8 in my Bible. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week, a week for work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day you should not work, your children, yourself, your servants, your animals. And, you know, I don't know how old you were, but I remember the Sabbath going away from us in this country as they made laws to open shops and let things happen. I felt we lost something. You know, I remember in my early time, on the Sabbath, you couldn't go out anywhere because everything was shut. But now the whole world becomes busy on the Sabbath. It's almost like a normal weekend day. And we've lost something when that happened. But then the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, then you will live a long life, full of life in the land your God has given you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. And you must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female. This is an amazing construct of the Ten Commandments. I want to concentrate on one this morning, which you might find a bit odd. That's number 5. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We are living in a society where families are breaking down, and family is the building block of society, and Satan, the enemy, always attacks the family because he knows if he breaks the family down, he breaks society down. But if we would really follow this commandment as parents and grandparents and as children, this will change society. Now, I know many of you are sort of like me, got grandchildren, and your influence is a bit more remote. But we have a job to do. I believe there are thousands of young people out there that need Christian grandparents or Christian parents to influence them in their life because their parents, it may not be known to them, but their parents are not doing the godly job they should be doing. So I believe that we can go around and help young people. And I want to start off with a bit of personal history. It says, honour your father and mother. Now this word honour, it means respect. It means to live in awe, to be under, to be influenced by, because you let them influence you because you honour them. And you might say to me, well, I don't know your background. There are many people out there today that don't even know their father. Their father living on the scene. Many people today, their father hasn't done the job they should have done. Their mother, likewise, haven't been good parents. So I thought it'd be good just to let you know my background a little bit. I was born at a very early age in Birmingham, in a back street, which I can't really remember, in a place called something Green, I can't remember what it's called now. Anyway, and then I was born with this hair lip and cleft palate, which affected me greatly, especially when I was growing up. I couldn't speak. I was spoon-fed, never had a bottle in my mouth, and my life was pretty tough. And I was one of five children, the middle one. And my dad, who was a lovely man, was an alcoholic. He would go to work every day on his way back from work. He would call at the pub, then arrive home sometime. And often he was drunk on the influence, and he wasn't a bad guy. He never beat me up, but he certainly gave our whole family a certain flavour based around alcohol. It upset me that when I saw my dad sober, he was different. He was a great guy. When he became drunk, he became silly, and he could lose respect for that. He did stuff which I won't repeat because it embarrassed me and impacted my life greatly. I left home when I was about 19, partly because of this. I lived in a flat with some of my friends. And unfortunately, I lost my dad when I was 24, and he was only 53. He died of lung cancer because in those days, having gone through the war, he smoked a lot, etc., etc. And I think the war impacted his life. So I don't know how I did this, but at some point in my own life, I decided to forgive my dad, right? And I honour my dad today. I believe he was a great man. I remember on holiday in Wales every year, we'd go for 2 weeks. We had a great time together. And I remember my early teens doing stuff with my dad, which was probably a bit different than some parents. We'd take the car out and do crazy things in the car. He'd let me drive at the age of 14, 15, around the lanes in Wales, etc. But you know, somehow by forgiving and honouring my dad, my life is at peace. So when the Bible says honour your father and mother, it doesn't say honour your father and mother as long as they were good parents. It says just honour them. And sometimes you have to forget stuff. Now, I believe if you forgive, you can forget. But if you don't forgive, it's very hard to forget, because those bad memories that come back, they rob you of your peace. So honour your parents. Look for the good among the bad. Seek forgiveness in your own heart. You know, I look at my dad and mom, and I had a good childhood, but I still honour them to this day, even though my dad had his issues. And I think so many people are written off today because we don't forgive. We don't let the bad stuff go. We just remember the good stuff. And if we forgive, it helps us to forget. That's what I want to take that stance. But you might say, well, Bob, no problem for you. You had an easy life. But for me, it was quite tough. And it's interesting, the Bible says, honour your father and mother. Because when a baby is born, you know, in the early part of their life, they get all their instruction and sustenance from their parents. So if you're a parent or a grandparent, get over your grandchildren and influence them for the gospel at an early age. It's very important. I'll come back to that a bit later on in my study. See, and we know from Proverbs, you know, teach a child in the way it should go, and it will not depart from this. And even Jesus quoted the commandments in the New Testament. You know, and he reinforced that the commandments are to live by. You know, in Ephesians 6:1-4, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment, the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. If you are a father of a household or a grandfather, you have an instruction from the Lord to not exasperate your children, but to bring them up in the holiness of God. Doesn't mean a saying like you ram it over. When I'm with my grandchildren and they've read from 21 down to 1, I have my moments where I talk to them about Jesus and about God, because in most cases, all my children are born again and that great parent as a grandfather. I like to input that situation. Right, as an instruction. The Ten Commandments are the building blocks for society. They're made by God and they are definitely there for important reasons. Now, I hope can you read that? Right, I want to show this. Hang on, get all 10 in. Is that okay? Right, the first four commandments are
yes.
No other gods, no idols, no blasphemy, remember the Sabbath. All these commandments are a relationship between us and God. You got that? The fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, comes in. Then after that is all relationship between each other. So the fifth commandment is a link between our relationship with God and the relationship with each other. Yes, you get that? So it's a transitional commandment which takes us from honoring and serving God through the Sabbath and obeying his law. It takes us immediately into the transformation relation between each other. Now, why is that there? In my opinion, sort of, you could say do not murder is more important than honoring your father and mother, you know, but God in his wisdom has put that commandment in that position to remind us about how important it is to have a God-designed family, a God-designed church, and a God-designed society. And Satan is attacking society. These commandments are no longer obeyed. It's interesting. If you go to the commandments between 6 and 10, they are all broken drastically by society. You shall not murder. Well, I guess none of you have murdered anybody, I hope. But every day in this country, we murder babies in the womb. You know, we are a society that let murder happen every day. I think there's 5 million kids have been murdered in the UK since the abortion thing happened. You shall not commit adultery. Well, that's okay. Now have an affair. You watch TV, and I don't watch much of it now. You watch EastEnders and all that sort of stuff. Adultery is almost the norm. You know, people lie on somebody else's bed without even a thought about it. You shall not steal. Yeah, it's okay. You know, you can take a bit of stuff from work that the boss won't miss it. You can, you know, you can take stuff and get away with it. Do not give false testimony. You know, how many conversations do you overhear about people running other people down? About saying stuff behind people's back and all that sort of stuff. And you shall not covet. And I almost spoke on this one, but you see, murder, adultery, stealing and giving false testimony is all the outworking of coveting. Because if you want something, you'll say stuff to get it. And coveting is an internal desire to have something which you haven't got. And in order to get that, you might steal, you might even murder, you might even give a false testimony. So the Psalms are really, Psalm 1, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul and strength. That's what it sums up at. If you did that, you wouldn't need the rest, would you? You would murder, you would covet, you would keep the Sabbath holy, etc. But the bottom end there, we have this, well, do not covet, and that then just sandwiches the whole Ten Commandments between two lovely ones. Right. We have given an instruction from God, you know, in Deuteronomy 6, we read this, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your strength. These commandments I give you today are on your heart. Impress them on your children. When was the last time as a parent or a grandparent did we impress a commandment on our children? Talk about them when you sit at home. I love that. Sit down with them and talk to children. Now, hang on a minute. We are all children, aren't we? Yeah, we are all children. Even though I'm quite old, I am still a child of God. So the word children, I think, doesn't stop when you're 12 or 18. Now, we are all called the children of God. We never called the adults of God, are we? We are just, you know, talk about when you sit at home. When you sit down as a family group, don't always talk about the weather. Say, oh, God did this today for me. Just share your testimony. Share your life story with your family. And if you have members of your own family which aren't born again, sit down with them and ask, Lord, give me the opportunity to open that conversation today. And we don't happen that day, praying when you see them again, the opportunity might arrive. Don't, as I used to call it, Bible thump them, boom, boom, boom. But talk about Jesus. And when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, this is for the Jews, retire the symbols on your hand and bind them on your forehead and write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Tie them on your hand. Let your hands obey the Ten Commandments. Let your hands only do the work of God. Don't let your hands do wrong stuff. Don't let your hands handle stuff you shouldn't. But be holy, because God said, I am holy. At some point in their life, children will grow up to be adults. And they will go their own way. And it's interesting that when Jesus spoke about this, he was in Luke chapter 12, he says these words, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother-in-law. Against daughter-in-law and the daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. I thought about this and I want to share my family. We have four married children, three of which are following God. In fact, our second son is now an elder in New Frontiers. He's an elder in a big church in Farnham. He's also a deputy head, so he's like his dad. He's quite a busy man working and serving the Lord. Our eldest son has turned away from God, and in fact, at this moment, he's going through a divorce, which is pretty tough on all of us. But I'm still trying to influence him for the gospel. We have our moments. I open the conversation when it's right, and I believe that, you know, even though I've done my best, you know, a child has his own will. So as a family, never let go of your kids. Never let go of the people that you know who are away from God. But talk to them about God, about gospel. And certainly in these times of COVID-19, when people's lives have been rocked, there might be an opportunity to talk about, actually, I have a hope in God. I know that my Savior, I know where I'm going. I know that life is fine. So, we look at this, and I just want to say a few words about honouring. We as Christians have the Holy Spirit in us, and we should honour each other in that. Now, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, you know, in 1 Peter. We are God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are incredibly blessed, like Tony said earlier. You know, we underestimate what God has done in our hearts through Christ. So, as parents and grandparents, we have something special in us. We are the people of God in this world, trying to witness to people who do not know God. It's so rare today that children honour adults. But it's quite, I want to show you a thing I drew. Now, as far as I know, adults make the laws, don't they? Yes? Children don't make laws. Right, so I drew this out for you to try and explain. So here we have a family of a father and a mother, yes? And they grew their children up and the kids were okay, they were all right, but no doctrine in the home, there was no impartation of the Holy Spirit. They were brought up okay. But when the child grew up, they were allowed to sleep around and their boyfriend came home and slept in the same bed as their daughter, etc. You understand the picture there, yeah? Right? So what happened, there was some honouring, but not enough, because the parents were not doing their godly job, yes? Right. This child here grew up and married a Christian who had a bomb in his hand, and then they brought their child up in the way of the Lord. You with me? Yes? So this progression goes on. This child here grew up and then became a godly family. And that family then moves on to, we don't know whether the son or daughter will again create a godly family. But it's up to the parents who make the laws on their children. If you read the first part of the commandments there, you'll see that, I'll read these words to you from my Bible. This is about making idols, about chasing after stuff which you want to have, you know, the big home, the nice car, the freedom of sexuality, etc., etc. It says this, for I, your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other God. Not that word affection. Anything you love greater than God, you won't tolerate. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. Right, you got that? But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You see, family, parents, children have an awful responsibility to encapsulate and have the Ten Commandments, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in their family, in order that they pass it on to the next generation. The problem in our world today, it's always been this way, that our forefathers, mums and dads, you know, especially I think after the Second World War became liberated, and we're now living in the laws that these grown-ups have made. We're now in a society where all the LGBT stuff kicking up, abortion's right. And I think I might not see it, but I believe that euthanasia will be okay in the next decade or so. So again, you know, it's the whole problem of disobeying the Ten Commandments, not honouring God, and not teaching your children in the way they should go. And then try to keep those children when they have families in the same way. So I believe as parents and grandparents, guys, under God's authority, we have a job to do to impact our families, impact our children, impact our grandchildren, impact the children that come to church, impact the adults that come to church who have families, and teach them to teach the word of God to their kids while they're at home, when they sit down, when they walk through the park, all this sort of stuff. Because I believe this fifth commandment, which to me didn't seem that important compared to murder, I think it's vital. It's the link between our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. I've got a little drawing here. You see, that is it. It's the link between our vertical and our horizontal relationship. So I could draw a cross over that, couldn't I? We mustn't underestimate the fifth commandment, because society is broken down because families are broken down. Divorce is rife. child abuse, all this stuff is kicking off because the family unit has broken down. And I believe with all my heart that this fifth commandment is so important. Jesus said, you know, do not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. So this love within the family should spill out to the neighbors. There's a lovely verse in Proverbs which, you know, it says, don't be like your neighbor who gossip about each other. But when you go to see your neighbor, share the gospel with them in the best way you can. I'm doing that in my cloak. I see out here. I do it every time, but I help people out like we all do. I just pray, Lord, give me those moments when, as a family man, I can impact another family with the gospel. And of course, this honouring your father and mother, all we've got to do is turn to Jesus for an example of that. Now, John verse 8, so Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I'm doing nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. There's nothing better when one of your children do what they ask. And as a father in the human world, great pleasure in that. There's also great pleasure in our Heavenly Father when we do what pleases him. So even Christ had this beautiful relationship with his dad, where he was honouring his father. He was doing his work. He wanted to please his dad. And again, you can do that. I mean, a few weeks ago, I was at my daughter and I was helping my son-in-law, lovely Christian, both of them, do some DIY. He's not so handy with that sort of thing. He's a great academic, a real brilliant guy. In fact, he's a director of a large private school, doing very well. And it was an absolute joy to go then with scruffy clothes on and lay all his tiles on the floor, do some work on his gate, which was falling over. And the pleasure in pleasing your child is the same as your child being pleased by the Father. We have to get these basic principles back into our home, friend. See, we spend more time in our home than anywhere else. We only meet at church at the best 3 times a week, possibly at best 6 hours a week. The rest of the time, we are living our gospel in our homes or at work. This is a place where God builds society and builds the building block. And we're going to be careful. We are living in an age today where if we as Christians let this go, society will get worse. And of course, we all know, you know, the second coming, the love of Christ, the love of most will grow cold. I understand that, but I still believe we have to obey this commandment and all the commandments, that you should really honour your father and mother and do that. The second part of that commandment, it says, and it's only one with a promise, so that you may live long in the land the Lord God is giving you. Obviously, in the context, that directly applies to Canaan, the promised land. Before the first commandment, I'm the Lord your God who set you free from captivity. You're about to go into this promised land. In fact, if you read around these chapters in Deuteronomy, there's all laws and legal stuff and what you should and what you shouldn't do, and laws of commerce and trade were all there. But so this promise in the second part of the fifth commandment is interesting because obviously, when a society is truthful, honest, no coveting, no murder, etc., your life is blessed and you will live longer. And if you're obedient, I believe God blesses you. And also, modern commentators will say this. There are some areas in England which are deprived, and I won't mention them because I don't want to offend anybody, but there is, you know, normally on the edges of big cities, there are areas which are deprived where life is reduced because of alcohol, smoking, abuse, and immoral behaviour, violence, and etc. So when you depart from the Ten Commandments, you actually won't live as long, you know, and you might die. But when you obey the word of God and you live out the commandments, God blesses you. I know people, die. What happened? A friend of mine, a Baptist minister who I was very friendly with, I've spoken in his church several times, and he just died, you know, he was younger than me. But this man passed into eternity with so much joy and peace, knowing that he served the Lord, knowing that what he'd done was for the kingdom. And his wife was similar. I still go and see her. I saw her before the holiday last week. And she has a fantastic faith that Brian, his name, is now in heaven. And she's waiting for that day when she will go. In the meantime, they've got a big family like her. And they're living out the gospel in their family as a witness to other people that do not know Jesus. I can't overemphasize the fact that when you have this commandment in your life to honor your father and mother, and your children and your children's children do that, and you help influence that, it will be a fantastic way of witnessing the gospel. I don't think you can knock on people's doors today with an open Bible. You know, that doesn't seem to work so well today. But I believe if you're a family man, you are a good father and a mother before the Lord, you influence your children and other children, other people, with the gospel. You see, children will copy people. They will copy their peers and copy adults. And I want them to copy the best that God can give them. And the best that God can give them is when we give the best to God. So we ought to look at that and really say, Lord, help me to honour you first, like your son did. And then help me, Lord, to be a good father or a good mother, to be a good grandfather or a good mother. Help me, Lord, to come alongside kids that I know from broken families. I'll never forget, years ago when I was doing lots of children work, I sat down with this little boy on the floor, and I forgot his name now, and I mean, I'll call him Johnny. I said, "What's up, Johnny?" He said, "My dad's left me." I said, "Oh, that's so sad, Johnny." He said, "It is my third daddy that I've lost. He's left me." So he obviously lived with his mum, and his mum had these boyfriends who stayed for a little while. And this kid gave his heart to these men, and these men just walked away. There are lots of people out there today, friend, that's saying, I'm hurting if somebody's left me. And I believe as adults, as godly parents, as godly people, we can really influence them. So in summary then, to honour your father and mother is a choice. You have to be obedient to the command. You honour your father and mother, even though it could be difficult. Forgive and forget if you have to. It's a commandment of promise. You will dwell in the land safely. This verse is a commandment about relationship on the human level, within the family and outside. It's a building block of our community and society. And the other commandments, sort of, as I said earlier, they build on this. The other commandments are there to have a relationship with each other. So, be good Christians. Yes, read your Bible every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. Remember that one? Do that, absolutely right. To pray and to read. But also be active within your family. Many of you, I guess, are grandparents. Be active. Take the time, make the time to walk and talk with children of your own family and other children. Don't let go of your 44-year-old daughter who is a lovely Christian. Look after her, pray with her, ask her how she's going, how is your family life? I'll do it with our daughter. Do that, and we can build solid families which obey the Lord. And then, hopefully, prayerfully, that will influence society. There are people out there crying out for people like you and me to meet them, to go and have a cup of coffee in Starbucks with them, to actually talk to them.
Amen.
About life. I pray this has blessed you. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. I hope Amen. You understand that it's on my heart that really we have to do it today more than ever, because so many families need role models. Let's be that role model for Jesus' glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.